Hello, everyone. We have a very special episode for you today. With me, I have two extremely important people, the beloved Muhammad, starring in the Quran, and the seer who wrote the stunning classic, the Ramayana. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Aren't these guys dead? Well, that's a great question. Moving on, we'll be talking about some very interesting, controversial, and quite fun topics. We will be comparing these two ancient texts in the way they treat women. We will discuss this through karma, dharma, and innate goodness of humankind. Well, where are my manners? Let me introduce our very important guests. Here today, I have Muhammad.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And the seer.
Hello, mediator human. How are you today? I already know. I'm a seer. That means I can see the future. I know your feelings and your future. Besides the point, how do you feel?
Okay then. First, let's discuss your amazing tale, the Ramayana. Can you talk to me about how some of these characters complete their dharmic codes?
Gladly. To remain consistent with the topic at hand, I shall focus on how women do and do not meet their dharmic duties in my story. The demoness, Sirpanaka, for instance, is the epitome of one soiled from disobeying their dharmic code, shown through her statement, quote, "Oh, brother, even a piece of wood, a clod of earth, or just dust has some use. But when the king falls from his position, he is utterly useless. But that monarch, who is vigilant, who has knowledge of everything, through his spies, who is self-controlled, who is full of gratitude, and whose conduct is righteous, he rules for a long time. Wake up and act before you lose your sovereignty." This quote explicitly displays Sirpanaka's violation of Dharma, for, as a sister and subordinate to the king, she should have never insulted him or demanded that he do her bidding, for she must never outstep her place as a woman.
Ah, yes, that is an interesting take on the demoness and her disobeying Dharma. I do find it interesting, though, that the demoness, what's her name again?
Sirpanaka.
Right, yes, Sirpanaki.
No, Sirpanaka.
Okay. Anyway, the demoness is going against her dharmic code because she is outstepping her place as a woman. Is that right? Isn't that a little, sexist?
No, of course not. There is no such thing. This is just part of her place as a woman. Enough about that demoness and other bad women. On to the good one, Sita. Oh, lovely Sita. There are two quotes I would like to discuss. The first is significant because it shows how, according to Dharma, a woman should behave in the face of evil. Quote, "You are prattling, O wicked demon. I can by my own spiritual energy reduce you to ashes, but I do not do so on account of the fact that I have not been so ordered by Rama, and I do not want to waste my own spiritual powers." In this situation, Sita is currently held captive by Ravana. She has the power to defeat Ravana, but she will not act upon them, for her dharma states she needs her husband's approval first. Sita is exemplary at following her dharma. I made sure she was seen as a strong model for women to follow. If women were to live by their dharma as strictly as Sita, good karma will flood their way, benefiting them in later reincarnations and paving their path to achieving moksha. The second quote described is perhaps the most significant act of dharmic duty in the novel. Quote, "Even as my heart is ever devoted to Rama, may the fire protect me. If I have been faithful to Rama in thought, and others are witness to my purity, may the fire protect me." After Rama rejects Sita for being corrupted by the touch of Ravana, she abides by her dharmic duty by walking into flames. If one is willing to sacrifice their life for their dharmic duty, they have passed the ultimate test of fidelity.
Wow, that's fascinating. We'll be right back just after a quick word from our sponsor. Pew, pew, pew! Ladies, are you tired of being oppressed by religion? Do you want a path tailored to your individual needs? Do you want to achieve nirvana and obtain a heightened conscious? Well, look no further than Buddhism. Convert today! Follow our path and you will never have to repeat this awful, trashy cycle of reincarnation. Join at your local Buddhist temple. Call 1-800-BUDDHA, that's BUDDHA, or go to www.joinbuddhabuddies.com. Now come find your own with us.
Boom.
And we're back. I thought that that was our sponsor, but it looks like we were hijacked. So anyway, we were discussing how women are portrayed in this year's piece, The Ramayana, and how women should follow their dharmas. Muhammad, what is your take on all of this?
Well, I definitely agree with the seer about how women should behave. The ways of the Islam teach people right from wrong and put women in their place. In the Quran, there's a passage that describes what women should do. Good women are obedient. As for those from whom you fear disobedience, admonish them and send them to beds apart and beat them. Here we are recommending that men beat women that they fear will disobey them. It teaches women how they are supposed to be and how they are supposed to do things, and shows that women should really just stay in their place, seeing that this would benefit everyone. If a woman can't fulfill their duties as a wife, us as men need to fulfill our duties to teach and reinforce a woman's duties.
Well, that's depressing. I suppose it was a different time.
Yeah, when times were good. Modern women. Oof. Women's feelings of obligation towards the rules of the Quran have practically diminished. Women used to have a sense of innate goodness they strive to preserve, but not anymore. The Quran explicitly outlines the duties of women, and they march against them. Although I'm not a follower of Confucianism, one tenet of the philosophy that really resonates with me is the belief harmony is achieved when people recognize and abide by their places in society.
Wow. That seer, do you want to speak on this?
I agree. In order to achieve the highest rank of enlightenment, you must abide by your dharma. Women may not like what their dharma is, but it doesn't really matter. They have to follow it anyways.
Oh, no. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, so we were just discussing the horrible the way in life of the past, and specifically how women were treated. Would anyone like to discuss anything else?
Despite what you modern people think, every choice we make has a purpose and is chosen for a reason. There are things that need to be done, and there are right and wrong ways to do so. You can call our actions towards women whatever you'd like, but it's what has to be done for all of us to follow our codes and reach heaven, and finally meet Allah.
That's an interesting idea. Could you elaborate and mention some karma ideas in the Quran?
If you do what the Quran tells you, you're a good person. You will make it into heaven and finally meet Allah. But you have to be genuinely good, because when you meet Allah, there's no hiding and no lying. He will see you for who you are, even more intimately than you see yourself. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Give endlessly and don't force your values and beliefs on people who don't see eye to eye with you. Peace and calmness is key to get to Allah.
Okay, so let me get this straight. When you die, Allah will see you and determine whether or not you're a good person.
Wait, guys, I gotta go. I have celestial dharmic duties to attend to. Oh. Ciao!
Goodbye, good friend.
Okay. Well, bye, guest. Thank you.
But yeah, that's correct. He will be able to determine everything about you, every sentence you've said, every thought that has gone through your mind.
Okay, so what happens after that?
He decides whether you are going to heaven or hell, based on your actions and mindset. Once he decides, there is no changing his mind or proving yourself in the afterlife.
Okay, so if you've been a good person, you have good karma and you're going to heaven. And if you're a bad person, your karma is going to hell.
Yes, that's essentially the idea. Also, be mindful that there's no way out. Once you've been placed, you're stuck there.
I guess that seems simple enough. So it looks like we're running out of time, actually. I'd like to thank our wonderful guests, the one who stayed anyway, for joining us today. Thank you, Muhammad, and I would thank the seer, but he already left. And thank you, everyone who's listening at home. I really hope you enjoyed what you've heard and that you've learned something from our podcast today. See you next time.